Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama didn't have a lot in common, but they all issued a slew of midnight regulations, new rules issued between election and the inaugurations of their successors. But President Obama seems to have been the champion here. Why do they do it, and what are the implications? For some analysis, we turn to Sophie Miller, senior policy analyst at George Washington University. Ms. Miller, good to have you on.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
You were looking at the amount of economically significant regulations. Let's define that term.
Economically significant rules are those regulations that are anticipated to have an annual effect on the economy of $100 million or more. These are the rules with the biggest impacts on consumers and businesses, and they typically merit more attention, analysis, and review than other types of rules. And just for reference, during the Obama administration, agencies issued, on average, around 50 economically significant rules per year.
How does that compare with, say, George W. Bush and Bill Clinton?
It was a higher rate of regulation than under some previous presidencies. However, President Obama did issue fewer significant rules than some of his predecessors did.
So lots of rules come out, probably thousands a year, but only a handful of them are worth $100 million or more to the economy?
That's exactly right. We have about somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 total rules coming out any year. Those are all final rules. But only, as I said, about 50 are really in those high-impact categories of economically significant rules.
Now, are the rules for those rules, that is the process by which they get proposed and then commented on and finalized, is that different for the economically significant ones versus the minor ones?
It is. They undergo a different type of analysis where we're looking at the benefits and the costs that are borne by society as a result. So it undergoes a more rigorous type of analysis than other rules do. And in addition, it also undergoes internal review and also interagency review as well as part of that process.
I've always wondered, how do they decide what it is they want to regulate? Because there's a lot of regulatory agencies. What makes an economically significant rule come up in the first place, do you think?
Many of these are required by statutes. So Congress is passing a law that instructs an agency to issue a certain type of regulation. But in other cases, we have examples where the president decides to take a new policy direction and would issue maybe an executive order instructing an agency to conduct a certain type of rulemaking. And those rules can also be fairly significant as well.
Let's concentrate for a moment on the midnight rules. You've defined those, if I got it correctly, between election and inauguration day.
That's right. And typically during this midnight period, regulatory agencies tend to significantly increase the pace of rulemaking because they are anticipating a new incoming administration with new regulatory priorities. And during this midnight period, both Republican and Democratic presidents have overseen significant increases in regulatory activity.
Because between Clinton, Bush, Obama, and now Trump, we've had, until now, 3 times 8 year administrations, which hasn't happened very much in American history. So there's been a big regulatory buildup by the previous administration. Part of it, I guess, is preserving the legacy.
We've seen that administrations, even as long ago as some scholars say 70 years, were increasing some of this administrative activity toward the end of their administrations. So it's not necessarily a recent phenomenon.
We're speaking with Sophie Miller, senior policy analyst at George Washington University. Looking at qualitatively at this, if there is that big spike in those years when there is just before an inauguration, what did you find about the quality of the rules? Were they as vetted, crafted, and so forth as carefully in that rush period as they were throughout the previous 8 years?
Our report focuses more on the number of rules and being able to predict how many we'll see in the future than on the quality of past regulations, although other scholars have certainly dug into that particular topic. And what they've found is that generally these rules tend to be reviewed for somewhat less time. They tend to receive somewhat less rigorous analysis. And I know that at least anecdotally, a few midnight regulations from past administrations that I've dug into, I've seen some negative impacts on consumers. For example, one was the clothes washer energy efficiency standard issued, I believe, at the end of 2000 by the Department of Energy. There were, as a result, a number of costs that consumers bore. In fact, a class action lawsuit just wrapped up that was able to determine a settlement for some consumers that bore costs as a result of that regulation, which was a rushed regulation at the end of the Clinton administration.
So 16 years then of dealing with this.
That's right.
And do you anticipate that, or is there anything we can see in what happened in last year under the Obama administration that could cause 16 years of litigation?
It's entirely possible. We see more energy efficiency standards at the end of the Obama administration as well, and those do tend to directly affect consumers, so it's possible we'll see some negative effects from those. But we also see some other midnight requirements, for example, formaldehyde standards for wood. There was a beryllium rule, which was actually, I believe, a long time coming from OSHA. We also had a methane rule from the Department of Interior. So it really does span a broad variety of rulemaking. And consumers and businesses and the entire regulated public will have a while to find out exactly what the impacts of those regulations are.
Methane sounds like one that's pretty broad-based, because a lot of things produce methane, like cattle at the rear end.
That's true. This rule was targeting more specifically certain types of resource extraction facilities. So probably not extending to cows in this particular example.
Because that was the rule everyone expected over the last 8 years, because I think EPA proposed it as far back as 2008 or so. But we didn't see that one come through.
I don't believe so. Although, to tell you the truth, some of these rules have such long and complicated titles, it's not always clear which rules deal with which issues.
Yeah, and looking at rulemaking as you have, because for each rule, and as you say, 40, 50 significant ones a year, it's almost astounding when you think of the drag on the economy of the accumulation of these. They also represent a lot of paper, thousands and thousands of pages every year for each of the regulations are accumulated. Do you get a sense of what this means for transparency of government and the ability of the public to really understand what's going on?
That's a really good question. And I think that you get to a really important part of why some scholars are concerned about specifically midnight regulations. And one of the issues that they have with midnight regulation is that sometimes some of those rules are rushed through at the end. Not all of them, of course. Many have been planned for years and years, and due analysis has likely been done. But those that are rushed at the end, there may not be time for the public to contribute meaningful input for the agency to consider. And even if they do contribute that input, there may not be time for agencies to duly consider that before formulating their final rule. That's an important part of our regulatory process in the U.S. And typically, for these economically significant rules, when they're not issued during the midnight period, the goal is to have an adequate analysis that illustrates what the benefits and the costs are to society, and then also allowing the public to be able to weigh in and provide input to the agency so that the agency has this feedback on what the effects of its rule might be before they can finalize it.
Because in many times you're dealing with values. And one side will say, well, if we reduce methane by this many parts per million, 50 lives will be saved. And people, and they'll say, how can you not save 50 lives? On the other hand, if it costs $10 billion to save the 50 lives, there is some economic theory that says it ain't worth it. Perhaps that's why we need more time on some of these.
You're right that many of these regulations do deal with very weighty topics. And I do think that sometimes deciding how to allocate these trade-offs can be really important and can take a long time. And sometimes that long internal deliberation can be necessary to formulating a good rule based on sound analysis that receives good input from the public that leads to better regulatory outcomes.
Do you see any prescriptions, or do you recommend anything for Congress to do or for administrations to do to maybe make it a little more even in the way that they issue regulations so that each one can get the thought and debate it needs?
I don't have any recommendations to make. In general, at the George Washington University Regulatory Studies Center, we see the ideal as agencies have time to do good analysis. They have guidelines that instruct them on how to conduct sound analysis so that it's economically based, that the public has time to give good input, and that the agency is then taking that input into account. And then when the rule is finalized and afterward, we're able to look back and review the effects of the rule. That's what we see as the ideal rulemaking. I won't weigh in on legislative reforms, because that's really not my role as a university-based researcher. But there are a number of legislative reforms that have been bounced around in Congress that would, of course, affect some of these processes.
Well, that's for another day. Sophie Miller is a senior policy analyst at George Washington University's Regulatory Studies Center. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks so much, Tom. It's been a pleasure.
You can find a link to her research and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.